Good evening. Once again, we're happy to be with you to talk about Missionary Servants of Holy Love and the Holy Love messages that have come to us through Blessed Mother and Jesus. With us this evening again are Don and Maureen Kyle. Hi, Don and Maureen. How you doing?
Hi, Judy.
Hi, Judy.
Don, would you like to open tonight with the scriptures and a prayer?
Okay. As we read from the Ignatius Press Bible, John 6, verse 48, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that a man may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any one of you eats this bread, he will live forever, and the bread which I shall give for the life of the world is my flesh. The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? So Jesus said to them, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who eats me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not such as the fathers ate and died. He who eats this bread will live forever. And then continued on verse 66. After this, many of his disciples drew back and no longer went about with him. Jesus said to the 12, Will you also go away? Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. Jesus answered them, Did I not choose you, the 12? And he spoke of Judas, the one who would betray him, the son of Simon Iscariot, for he, one of the 12, was to betray him. And also a prayer that Jesus gave to Maureen, June 1997, prayer to Jesus in the Eucharist. My Jesus, I believe in you, truly present in all the tabernacles of the world. I surrender to you my sins and all the love I have in my heart. I beg your forgiveness for those who do not believe in you and do not love you.
Thank you, Don. This sets the stage for us to talk about the Eucharist this evening. We were quite pleased to begin our program last week, and we wanted to clarify a few questions that may come up, particularly for our non-Catholic listeners. As we mentioned last week, our program, our mission is ecumenical, and we invite all faiths to be participating in our message. And a few of the terms we used last week may not be familiar to all. One of them we referred to as adoration. And adoration, as in the adoring of God, sometimes we speak of that in the mission quickly, and many of the many Catholics in the audience will understand this, as we go to adoration. This is something that happens at church. Sometimes the Eucharist, which we believe to be the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus, who is God, the Eucharist in the host is exposed on the altar in a monstrance, a beautiful gold edifice in which the host is placed and has a place of prominence on the altar. People go to adore Jesus in the Eucharist because he is God and he is present there in the host. So when we speak of going to adoration, we're going to a place where Jesus is present, either exposed in the monstrance or within the tabernacle. And this is a beautiful way to pray, and the closest we can get to Jesus besides receiving him in the Eucharist here on earth. Another two terms that we use very readily are Blessed Mother and Our Lady, and both of these terms are in reference to Mary, the mother of Jesus on earth, and these terms are come quickly to people who are of the Catholic religion. So when you hear us speak of Blessed Mother and Our Lady, in all instances we're talking about Mary. And when we speak of adoration, we're talking about the adoration we offer to Jesus. In particular, in the Eucharist, we know he's present. Hope those explanations help you out if anything was confusing to you the last time. Now, Maureen, you want to, I think, share with us some quotes about the Eucharist.
Yes, Judy, Jesus gave me this message this morning when I was at Adoration. He said, "I am your Jesus, born of the Virgin Mary, born incarnate. Consider for a moment the little flower growing in the field. It is dependent upon God for all things, its sustenance, even its very existence. It is thus with every soul God creates. I breathe life into it, and I sustain the life as long as the divine will of the Father allows. In return, I ask that the soul love me. I desire to be the center of the soul's life. I wish to be honored and adored in the Blessed Sacrament. I long to be recognized in this sacred species by all people, all nations. I do not come under the sign of bread and wine to be ignored, doubted, and even disbelieved. I am here for every soul, in every tabernacle. I'm longing to be embraced by humanity. I'm longing to be recognized by all, not as a symbol, but as your living God. So much am I ready to give in return. You will make it known."
What a beautiful quote. Jesus gave you this morning, Maureen? Yes, this was this morning. Just beautiful, and clearly this is the reflection of what we believe in our Catholic religion. Back April 3rd, 1997, Our Lady had also told us something similar. She said, "Let us discuss compromise. The heart of the Church is the Eucharist. My Son is either truly present in the Eucharist or he is not. There is no in-between. Jesus says he is present." So clearly he's reiterating that to us today. When we think truly of what this actually means, it should change our lives. Don, you also have some quotes for us about the importance of Jesus in the Eucharist, I think.
Yes, Judy. In regard to some of the quotes that were given, this is one from Jesus from October 10th of 1997. Jesus comes and bends over Maureen, and he asks how she feels. She nodded her head a little bitter, and Jesus said, "You will be better by Sunday." And he continued, "I have come to tell you these things. The pillars of the remnant church are the same ones shown Don Bosco in his prophetic dream." Don Bosco was a saint from a couple centuries ago. "On one pillar is my Holy Mother. The other supports my Eucharistic heart. Hearts must be well anchored to these two devotions. The time approaches when the only security in the world will be the faith in your hearts. Do not trust the faith or teachings of anyone who is not anchored to these two pillars. There are devotions that take you in a holy love and to the divine love." He leaves.
Beautiful to be reminded of that picture of the two pillars of the church, things that we need to really keep in mind today. Being from Wisconsin, I have to say I'm edified here in Ohio at how many areas you do have the Eucharist in exposition, the opportunities to go to adoration, and the great fervor of people towards the Eucharist. This is not true in all other parts of the country, and you're certainly to be commended about that, and it certainly also attests to and explains why there's so much fervor in this area. I think there was another quote that Jesus has given at one time, March 11th of 98. I think, Maureen, you must have been asking him if it was okay to genuflect before you received communion, when you're in line for communion. And he had said, "It is all right to genuflect before you receive me. These days, people line up to receive me like a drive-through Eucharist." That's a striking thing for Jesus to say. But the signs of reverence sometimes missing can be reinstituted by those who are going to communion and then edifying others as to the reverence that we're giving Jesus in the Eucharist. Mm-hmm. Don, did you have another two that you wanted to share?
There was some of the questions that came in this past week in regard to apparitions, etc. Reportedly, there are reported over 300 apparitions throughout the world because of the sad state of affairs that the world is in. The Blessed Mother is not coming on her own. She is being sent by Jesus. One example was three or four years ago in Rwanda. The Blessed Mother appeared to a number of, I think they were teenagers there. That went on for a number of years, but she told the people that hearts had to change or else the streets would flow as rivers of blood. And sadly to say, in Rwanda, shortly after that, I think four of those visionaries were killed. And the Tutsis, I believe, and I forgot who the other tribe was, but there were mass murders, limbs cut off, people beheaded, and the river in the streets did flow as rivers of blood. There were well over 70,000 people massacred there, from what I understand. Also, Our Lady indicated, this was on January 21st of 1998, which was the anniversary of Our Lady Protectress of the Faith. This is how Blessed Mother first appeared to Maureen and asked for that title. However, that wasn't the case here, and subsequently, she was given the title Mary, Guardian of the Faith in Ecuador 3 months after that. But some other states here that she said, how I had hoped to meet you here today, this was to Maureen while she was going to adoration. You recall well the day 12 years ago I introduced you to the Protectress of the Faith devotion. It was given to you at a time when the faith in the world around you was beginning to crumble. Now you see that the hour of my predilection was justified, for faith in hearts has been reduced to a glimmer through compromise and confusion. Jesus warned you then that not all would believe in my coming to you. Today, many consider my apparitions around the world fair game for rash judgment and detraction. While I do not say my children must believe under pain of sin, similarly, they must not rash judge or detract. My message is anywhere under pain of sin, the commandments are still the commandments. Today I come to you under my title of Refuge of Holy Love. I invite you to see that holy love is the blueprint for your salvation. While many are saved who do not know me under this title, it is impossible to attain salvation when you do not love God above all else and your neighbor as yourself, which is holy love. Living in holy love in the present moment is God's holy and divine will. Therefore, you see that the Protectress of the Faith and Refuge of Holy Love are together. I protect your faith in the refuge of my heart, which is holy love. Because I am your all-caring mother, I desire you solicit my protection and the refuge of my heart in the midst of all trials, confusion, and compromise. You will meet many challenges and face many new paths in the coming year. Remain close to my son in the Eucharist. I will bless you.
So she came to us to protect our faith and led us right to Jesus in the Eucharist.
This is what Our Lady always does. She never attributes anything to herself, as I reiterated earlier, that she's not coming on her own because of the sad state of the world today. She's coming because Jesus is sending her to bring souls to him.
And to protect his church. I think she gave us a table of different attributes that have to do with either people who are holy and remain faithful to the church and those who are going more towards apostasy, heresy, and schism. And in there she talked about the Eucharist. She said the holy and faithful people firmly believe and revere Jesus' real and true presence in the Holy Eucharist. And the opposite of that is those who doubt or do not believe in the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. They show little or no reverence to him in this form. Fits right in with you, just what you just said. She's she's trying to protect us and take us to Jesus. When she gave us the quotes for studying her sorrows and meditating upon her sorrows and the stations. The fourth station, the meeting of Jesus and Mary on the way of the cross, she said, "I embraced him in my heart as I saw him suffering under the weight of the cross. You too must embrace him in your hearts in the Blessed Sacrament. Do not leave his love unattended," which of course is telling us not only to keep praying, but go to the church, be in front of the tabernacle, and pray to Jesus. One time she told us to pray in front of the tabernacle against abortion. That was one of the most effective places to do that. That was September 5th of 98. "Dear children, tonight I ask of you that you pray the rosary one time a week in front of my son in the Blessed Sacrament. At this time, pray for life, which is so under attack. I have come with this special request, as so many still today die in great numbers at the hands of the abortionists. The rosary, my dear children, in front of the tabernacle is a particularly great weapon in favor of justice."
Maureen, I have a question for you in regard to abortion. Our Lady indicated to you, I think it was about 8 or 9 years ago, about abortion, and the ministry changed its name from Protectress of the Faith to Project Mercy, which encompassed about 4 years of praying against abortion. Mm-hmm. Weren't there some type of doctors or something that were aborted? Can you explain that to us?
Oh, yes. Our Lady said that the doctors that would discover cures for cancer and for HIV and other diseases had been aborted.
So that just goes to show us the sad state of affairs that we're still going through and continue to go through.
Maureen, did you have some other quotes you wanted to give us about virtues today from that Jesus have given us?
I was going to read this quote that Jesus gave us on self-surrender, because in order to believe in Jesus' real presence in the Eucharist, we have to surrender to the belief. And in order to advance in any virtue, we have to surrender also to the doctrine of holy love, because no one can become virtuous who does not love God above all else and neighbor as himself. So on May 22nd this year, Jesus said, "I am your Jesus, divine love, born incarnate. I have come to explain to you the fullness of my call, which is self-surrender. Without your surrender, I cannot achieve in you my goal and your salvation. Surrender means that you must give up or relinquish something. Self-surrender is my call for you to give up your own will. Your will is directed by whatever is in your heart in the present moment. This is why my call to self-surrender is at once my call to complete submission to holy love in the present moment. Self-surrender is the key that unlocks the door to my heart and to divine providence. So often you do not see my provision because you are blinded by what you want. So often what you want is not good for you and will not lead to your salvation. My provision, my divine will for you, is like a great tapestry that I, the weaver, begin to weave at your conception. All through your life, I design to put each thread in its place, to create the masterpiece of your salvation. When you refuse to surrender to me, you inasmuch as pull a thread out of place. Then I, the artist, must redesign the entire tapestry so that it all comes together harmoniously. But when you surrender to me, the final outcome is much more easily attainable. You see my grace and you cooperate with my provision, my plan. The design is more beautiful because it is my best design. Your self-surrender is what moves your feet up the staircase of holiness. Your surrender lets you inhale the sweet fragrance of the bouquet of my grace. Without your surrender, you are like a broken tool in the hands of a master carpenter. The carpenter cannot use such a tool, so he sets it aside and searches out a better one. In the same way, I cannot use you to the fullest unless you surrender completely to me. When you surrender, you are telling me you trust me to lead you, guide you, provide for you, protect you. I cannot resist such a one. My love completely embraces such a soul, and I am united to him. This is why I tell you, your trust is everything. Your trust is your surrender.
It's amazing how beautifully Jesus speaks to us through you, Maureen. So poetic. Here we have a picture of a tapestry in front of us, wondering how our life's going to turn out, what the picture will be, what we're doing. It's just fabulous. Hopefully, we can catch on to that self-surrender. It sounds so simple, and yet we do hang on to our own will and the things that we're doing on a daily basis. Personally, I do wish self-surrender came with a book and it said exactly what I was supposed to do. But apparently, that was the Ten Commandments and the two great commandments, and we're supposed to figure out the rest for ourselves. I did have one other quote here that it seemed like it would be very appropriate that Jesus had said, "My brothers and sisters, just as I desire that you are prepared to receive me in the Blessed Sacrament, I am also asking that you be prepared for my second coming. The time and the date are unknown to you and known only to the Father in heaven. Each one is responsible for his own state of preparedness, but I have come to ask you to make your hearts ready through the message of holy love. It is my further request that you come deeply into the message of divine love that I will be giving you." And these are the messages that he's been giving us now, since one of the messages being the one you just read. Beautiful that Jesus is taking us so simply. Surely he said all these things before. Apparently we aren't getting it. Oh. Don, I can see you're anxious to say something.
I am?
Yes.
Well, thanks. Now, the walk that Jesus is leading us from and to, the walk is holy love in the present moment, and the walk through holy love to divine love, his sacred heart.
His sacred heart. Depending upon when you hear this broadcast, last Friday was the Feast of the Sacred Heart on the 11th of June, and a beautiful time for us, followed immediately by the feast the next day of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And this is very important to our mission because we have been led to the United Hearts. Blessed Mother has taken us to Jesus and has given us the devotion to the United Hearts. And Jesus did explain that on January 13th in such a beautiful fashion. He said, "I wish to reveal to you the depth of the United Hearts revelation. As my mother's heart is the refuge of holy love, so my own sacred heart is the kingdom of divine love. Thus, the United Hearts represent both refuge and kingdom, security in tribulation, and victory over evil. We are united. We share everything. She is always in me. I am always in her, spiritually and emotionally. Therefore, see that when you petition the heart of my Blessed Mother, the petition goes into my heart as well. Further, when you pray directly to me, she is praying for you also. When my mother's heart is sorrowing, I too sorrow. When the Immaculate Heart holds joy, I too am joyful. We share the same emotions. While I am Godhead present in the tabernacles of the world, my mother stands beside the tabernacle, consoling me. While she draws souls into the confessional, I am in the confessional, waiting to forgive. Thus, we have always shared. We are united in hearts." Of course, Jesus described that better than we could ever. But this was a perfect opportunity for us to celebrate the weekend of these two feasts. Don, did you have any parting words for us?
You mean the show's almost over, Judy?
Well, the time for us to pray is upon us.
Okay. You'd like me to read some prayers here, Maureen? Okay. Our Lady had given Maureen some additional prayers, a prayer before communion, which begins Oh, my sweet Jesus, I approach your altar only because I am dressed in grace. I beg an outpouring of your mercy on all those who approach your altar in the state of mortal sin. My Jesus, accept this humble prayer in atonement for the many sacrileges committed against your real presence. Amen. And then there's the tabernacle prayer. O Jesus, ever present in the tabernacles of the world, receive my love, my adoration, my consolation. Free the sinner from bondage, convert the lukewarm. We ask this in your most holy name, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Don. Once again, we invite you to contact us if you would like copies of any of the prayers or any of the messages. And we are ready now to go into the praying of the Rosary and the Chaplet of the United Hearts.